Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 19. So far in Acts 1, we've been looking at the acts of salvation that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost do to accomplish the salvation of the church, of His people. And so flowing out of that provision that our God does for us, that He does for the people of God, flowing out of His provision, we know that He gives apostles and some pastors and some teachers, for example, to the church for their edification and their encouragement. All right, and so here in these verses, what we see is Paul, who is an apostle, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the will of God, right? He's now moved by the Spirit, right? By that same Spirit of provision for the people, he's now moved in the Spirit to serve his brethren, both in love to them, and we see here in prayer. He prays for the brethren. Look there at verse 15 and 16. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, right? This is on the back of what the Lord has done for his people in salvation. Wherefore, he says, I also, the Lord has brought me into this to serve you, brethren, to love you and to edify his church. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Right? So Paul would thank the Lord. Right? Thank you, Lord, for the brethren there at Ephesus. Thank you, Lord, for their love to the saints, their love of your Son and your salvation that you've provided. Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. Right? Lord, thank you for the brethren that you've gathered there in Battlefield, Missouri, for the glory of your name, to know you, to lift up the banner of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, right? That's what we pray. Lord, bless your people that are gathered there. Help them to stand and to serve the Lord, to fight this battle that is raging around us, which you've already won. Help us, Lord, to love your people and to serve you in this battle. All right, and so today what I want to look at primarily is verses 17 through 19. That's the prayer that Paul prays for the brethren. That's the substance of it. Now I've titled this, What I Stand in Need Of, He Supplies. What I stand in need of as a child of God, my God supplies everything I need in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll look at this prayer, and we'll see a pattern. We'll handle this in the pattern of first considering what it is that I, as a believer, as a child of God, what do I stand in need of? And then we'll see how your God supplies all your need in that regard, okay? So, first of all, let me just say a few things in building up to looking at this prayer. We know that I speak to you as believers, right? Believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you have faith in Him. You've been given faith. You've heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God has revealed faith in you, the gift of faith, whereby you look not to yourself, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God has declared to you that He is your salvation. And so that means that we have a certain understanding, a certain level, a certain basic level at least, of what it is that our God has done for us, what I stand in need of, and what He's freely provided for me. All right? And so we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard of what He's done. We heard of what He has accomplished for us, so that you all have an understanding of, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in Adam. I'm a sinner in this flesh. I've transgressed against the laws of my God, and I come short of His glory. And I can't save myself. I can't do enough to reconcile myself to the living God and to make myself acceptable unto him. All right? And Paul, in other letters, he affirms this to us. He confirms this truth to us, saying in Galatians 2:16, for example, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but rather a man is justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Right? And he teaches us, and he's giving us an understanding that I'm saved not by my faith in Christ, but I'm saved by the faithful work accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so as part of that salvation, I have faith in Christ because it's something that he's wrought in me as part of the salvation he's accomplished for his people. Again, over in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, Paul says to us that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, right, before we did anything good, and it doesn't matter if we did anything evil, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for his chosen, elect, redeemed people. All right? Much more then, because of this, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, and this is why I'm reading all this, we shall be saved by his life. All right? We're saved by his life. All right? Not the things that we do in this flesh, this old man's life, but we're saved by the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. All right? So as we go through this prayer here, prayed by Paul, I want you to receive it in terms of, this is what I stand in need of. This is what the Lord is teaching me. I have a knowledge of what he's done for me, but I'm learning through his gospel, through his power and grace and the glory of his Spirit, I'm learning I stand in need of these things ever. I ever stand in need of them while I'm here in this flesh. I'm his child, and I need his grace and mercy. I ever need his grace and mercy to do for me these things, all right? And so when Paul writes to us, these brethren, he's speaking to the new man. He's not speaking to the old man of your flesh that cannot hear these things, that cannot believe these things, that cannot do these things. He's speaking with the understanding that he's talking to that new creation, that new man which is created of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's revealing to us, this is what I need. Lord, if I'm going to have it, you must provide it. I stand in need of these things. Please give these things to me, Lord. All right? The apostle would tell the Colossians in 3, verses 3 through 5. Here again, he's speaking of life. He said, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What life is that? That old man that sinned, that was vile and wicked. That's all been handled by Christ. He's taken care of it, and that old man, that life is hid. So that when Christ, who is our life, that new life, that true life, which is alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, when he that is our true life shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And he tells us the following. All right, mortify is an example of what we're going to see. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I just want you to understand that Paul here now isn't preaching, right? Isn't teaching that new man in you by turning you back to the law, by turning you back to the flesh, by turning you back to the old man to do these things. He's declaring that Christ, who is our life, who is your life, he's going to accomplish these things in you. He's the one that's going to work this in you. He's making it known so that we see what I stand in need of, and then we shall know that he's going to accomplish all this in us. All right? So this prayer, it reveals Christ, our life, and that this is what he's working in each of you by his grace and power. All right, so What do I stand in need of? I've heard of Christ now. I believe him. I know that he's accomplished my salvation. But in many things, I'm still learning the wisdom of Christ. I'm learning that I need his wisdom. I need his spirit of revelation. I need him to teach me and to keep me and to walk with me and cause me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, for example, we experience trials. We experience hardships. We experience various troubles and afflictions and persecutions and hardships. And in one sense, these try the old man, right? To try and get a reaction in the flesh, right? To try and provoke us just living in that old man. And these same hardships, they prove the new man. They prove the work that our Lord has accomplished in us and is working in us. That salvation, he's working in us, all right? And so the Lord does this because by his spirit of wisdom and revelation, he's going to cause his work, that glorious work, that heavenly gold and silver, that precious work of the Lord will shine forth more brightly and more gloriously in his people as he's teaching them and growing them in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I stand in need of fresh revelations in the knowledge of him. And I ever stand in need of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. All right, and so Paul prays, therefore, in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right, so that his Holy Spirit dwells within each one of you that believe him. Right, as we saw last week, you are sealed with the heavenly, with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with that Spirit which preserves you and keeps you unto the end. And we're reminded by that Spirit that dwells in us that my God has a purpose for me in the things that I suffer. Right? He has a purpose in it. All these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, right? And the things that you suffer, the hardships and the trials and the sufferings, God has a purpose in the things that each of you suffer and the things that I suffer. He has a purpose in it. And so as he's growing us and as he's dwelling in us, he's giving us a heart and a desire to want to see the Lord shine forth in glory. We want his work to shine forth as the noonday, as the brightness of the noonday. In the new man, we want the Lord to be glorified in our lives. We want to glorify him and honor him whom we profess to believe and follow after, right? And so as he's teaching us, we learn patience and we begin to pray, right? It takes some time. I know for me, a lot of times in the hardness of my heart and the hardness of my head, I don't get it. But eventually the Lord brings me to myself, that is the new man, whereby I realize I've not even sought the Lord about this. And so we begin to pray, right? We begin to call out upon him and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm struggling. I'm sinking down in that old man. I'm not even thinking of you, Lord. And I'm more than anyone, I need you, Lord. I need your help and your grace. All right? So we seek him for grace and strength. And by his glorious power, there's even times when we're moved to pray, depending on the type of suffering you're going through, that he'll move you to pray for your enemies, that the Lord would grant them repentance, that he would show them the error of their ways and do for them what he's done for you in showing you not only your need, but your accomplished salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the spirit of wisdom. Right? I don't want to grow hard and grow cold like those people in this world are growing, right? They're increasingly growing in hardness. Their words are getting sharper, right? They're getting more antagonistic with one another. Whoever they think the enemy is, man gets harder and colder and just doesn't want to hear the truth, right? And that's what is happening to us with all these difficulties that are coming against us. So I want to remember my Lord who bore my shame, who was beaten and spit upon, mocked, rejected, and despised of men, yet bore it patiently for his people, right? Because there's a purpose why I'm suffering. And it isn't for me to lash out in the flesh, right? It isn't for me to bite back and devour with my tongue, right? Though I could be in the old man. It isn't for me to thrash back at others and lash out at them. I want to remember my Lord who was mistreated for me. You know, after our Lord willingly went with them that came to seize and to crucify him, and there he is in that mockery of a trial, and Peter, we're told, denied him, right? When he had denied him that third time, and he hears the cock crow, and it says the Lord looked on Peter, right? Peter knew what he had done. He betrayed his Lord. And it says there in Luke 22 that right when his friend Peter betrays his Lord, denies him before the people, right then it says, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Right when he's there, the thing that hurt him most was Peter's denial. And he bore that mocking and that smiting against him. And it says there, Luke 22:64, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And Christ could have defended himself there. He could have told them exactly who smote him. He could have told them anything they needed to hear and glorified himself, and they would have stood back and said, whoa, God has been among us. But what would that do for you or me? We'd still be in our sins because they wouldn't have crucified him then if he had delivered himself. But he bore that shame and mocking and despising and rejection to save you because he loves you. He loves you. And he did that work for you that now believe on him. And so we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation there in the midst of the trial and the suffering and the hardships that we're going through, right? That's what we're seeing here, that we need that same spirit. We need to bear with that, bear along with those that are our enemies, because God would to God that he would save them and have mercy upon them. As Paul would pray and say in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why? If by any means, right, as howsoever it pleases God to bring me to that point, to bring me to my death, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, right? Whether I live a long life and die of old age, or if I die at the end of a sword or a spear or someone that hates me, right? Doesn't matter. Whatever, it's God's will. I'm his servant. He can do with me what he wants. May he give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation to bear with it in the knowledge of this is the will of God for me. Right? So we need that. I stand in need of that. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, and I add this word, that purpose for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Right? Because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So what does it matter? If I'm alive, I shouldn't be living to myself. I live to Christ. And if I die, all right, I go off to my inheritance with him forever. How is that a bad thing? So, right? But we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation, because the old man doesn't see it that way, right? The flesh preserves itself, defends itself, and does everything it needs to avoid being persecuted and suffering anymore. Right? But in the new man, that's where that boldness comes in, that hour of grace that we need it, and he gives us that boldness to stand and say, you know what, this is what I've been called to stand on. Lord, you've given me your spirit, help me to stand. Stand in the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify you. All right? So next, too often my eyes are looking to the things of this world. And because I do that, I get discouraged. All right? I get discouraged when I look at all the things I see around me. I get even more discouraged when I see the things within. All right? When I see my own heart, because I find myself to be weak. All right, weak of heart, I find myself to be fearful and to worry about things more than I have need of worrying about them. All right, who of you, by worrying, could add one cubit of stature to his life, the Lord said, right? So with all these troubles, and as far as I search out reasons and answers in the world, I just get discouraged and troubled by these things. I don't find any peace or comfort. So what do I stand in need of? I stand in need of the light of Christ. I need him to come flooding in, shine his brilliant, glorious light into my heart. Lord, help me to see what I have need of seeing. Give me understanding. Cause me, Lord, to have my mind set on the things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. Let me see your glory, Lord. Right, as Stephen, while he was being stoned, looked up and said, I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, standing for me to receive me, ready to receive me. That's the light that we need to see our treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would be given grace to seek him with the whole heart. Right, him who is my treasure, that he be my all, my treasure. And so what does the Lord do for us? Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Lord, give me that single eye, that looks to you, and that your light flows in, your light, your glory shines in to dispel the darkness that's in my heart from looking at the world and getting so caught up with it, right? Turn over to Matthew 6. And let's go to verse 21. Our Lord says, for where your treasure is, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon, right? The things of this world. You have one master, one Lord, one God, one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells his disciples that, as you read it later, he tells his disciples, don't fret and worry about these things. You can't. The Lord knows you have need of food. He knows you have need of clothing. He knows you have need of shelter. And he'll provide all those things. But you, he says in Matthew 6:33-34 at the end, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Right? And I need his spirit, his grace and power to teach me that, how to trust him. Right? How do I be a responsible provider for my family and not, you know, fret about these things, or at least have it in the right measure so that I do what I have to do here, but all the while leaning upon the Lord in a righteous manner, right? By his grace and power, not in the flesh, all right? Next, I know that God's righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We know that. He's revealed to us. That's why we're not working for salvation. We're resting in Christ, who is our salvation. He's the one I'm to seek, right? And in seeking him, he reveals to us his purpose, right? He reveals to us his will in the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things will be revealed, right? And therefore, I'll be content, right? I'd be content in seeing these things and what his will is for me. And it's that I may know him. That I may know him. So what is it that I stand in need of? All that joy and peace and rest that comes in the knowledge and the hope of Christ, right? That I may rest in him. So Paul prays there in verse 18 that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, right? That I may be happy and content in Jesus my Savior. That I may be content in him, that I would be happy just to walk in his grace and in fellowship with my Lord. And Paul adds, verse 18, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. All right, so that we're given this hope. He fills us with this hope in the gospel, right? Where our Lord reveals the mystery of his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, which others in this world don't see. They don't know. They don't understand it. They don't believe it. They don't rest there, but that's what he gives to us. And says in Colossians 1, 26 through 28, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. All right, so the Lord is caring for you. He's providing everything you need. He's the one keeping you in that fellowship and knowledge of him. All right, what else do I stand in need of? Well, I ever stand in need of God's power, his glory and his grace, continually flowing to me, continually blessing me with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, right? I stand in need of him ever pouring out his blessings upon me and never leaving me to myself, because we know if it's left up to us, if it's left up to my will, forget it. I'll turn. If it's left up to my strength, my grip shall fail, and I shall fall on my face, and I shall be lost forever if it's up to me. If it comes down to me and what I can do, all right, we'll surely perish, and we will fall short of the glory of God. We cannot do it of our own strength and power. So, what does the Lord do for me? Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So that we understand, and we understand it more and more, that my faith in the first hour was of the Lord's grace and power to me. And my faith in the last hour shall be according to his grace and power. And everything in between is all according to him. It's according to the working of his mighty power. That's how it was in the beginning. That's how it ever shall be, according to his the working of his mighty power. And so, brethren, I'm thankful for the Lord's grace. I'm thankful for you that he's shown you Christ and shows you your need of standing in need of these things every hour, and that you see and look to him who alone provides this for you, that gives you everything you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that he continually supply that need to you, because what I stand in need of, that he supplies.